Do you believe?
Welcome into another episode of Bringing Home the Hardware with Kate Constable and Mark Drumheller. The NFL honors are tonight. Mark, this is kind of like the day we've been waiting for because all the regular season awards are going to finally be announced now that it is the postseason with the Super Bowl this weekend. So it's an exciting day because we'll finally get to see if our tickets cash.
Absolutely. It's ticket cash in Thursday. So I'm excited for this one. You know, we got some good ones out there. We talked about Lamar MVP, have some other ones in the mix. So it's nice at the end of the year to see those tickets come through.
Yes. So we're going to run through the slate of awards and just kind of see if gauge where we were at with our picks and what we think will happen, if there's going to be any of surprises. So, I mean, starting off with MVP, I think everyone in the world is kind of in agreement that Lamar Jackson is bringing home the most valuable player award this year.
Yes, bring home the hardware, right? Lamar Jackson, exactly. And bring home my plus 600 ticket that we hit in December. So excited for that one. I don't see any way he doesn't get the award. I think it's got to be him. I agree. You know, just an incredible end of the season that I think really cinched it up.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you look at the other potential candidates, Josh Allen, nope. Christian McCaffrey, maybe, but Brock Purdy is also on that list, and I don't think Purdy wins it. Dak Prescott, nope. I'm with you. Lamar Jackson, bringing it home. You have a plus 600. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So glad that one's going to hit. And, you know, it's, hey, you know, we kind of talked about it on the show. You know, we saw the path there, and, you know, we executed, and hopefully it gets home.
Offensive player of the year. We have Tyreek Hill, Lamar Jackson, CeeDee Lamb, Christian McCaffrey, Dak Prescott. I'm going with McCaffrey.
Yeah, I think it's got to be him, especially the way the Dolphins season ended. Like, that was really the big killer. I thought they were neck and neck, and I thought that there was, like, a real chance that Hill had a shot until the last couple weeks, and then things kind of fell apart. Like, once he had that primetime game where he got injured, it seemed like everything snowballed.
The injury just totally killed him because he didn't look the same after that. Had to sit out a game too, missed a little time, and that just kind of ruined it all for him. Plus, I mean, even if Tyreek Hill was healthy the rest of the season, unless he eclipsed that 2,000 yards mark, I'm not sure he would have beat McCaffrey anyway because McCaffrey's had quite the year.
Yeah, listen, and I don't love the 49ers, but I mean, you got to give him credit. Like, he's in the end zone every week. It's like anytime touchdowns, like minus 300. We're seeing all these ridiculous prices. Guy can't stop scoring touchdowns. So, you know, he definitely well deserving of the award.
Defensive player of the year, Deron Bland, Max Crosby, mm-hmm. Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, TJ Watt. Has to go to Myles Garrett, right?
I hope so. I got a 7-1 from early in the season I gave out in the beginning of the year. So, you know, I think so. I think the Cleveland defense was huge. Didn't have a great, you know, playoff showing against the Texans, but it's a regular season award. And they're really the catalyst that kind of got them in the playoff contention. The offense was an issue all year. So I give it to Garrett. And the other, it's really a two-man race. I think Garrett, Parsons, and, you know, Dallas, I mean, come on, man. Can't be giving Dallas awards after what they did this year. Not the Cowboys.
No, not at all. And Parsons, like, heading into, I think it was maybe like week 14, 15, it was looking like maybe Parsons might be the guy. But again, just kind of a poorer end to the regular season that Garrett was able to jump Parsons and take control of that, of the lowest odds, which is
Love
the top
to
of the.
More tickets, more hardware. We're bringing it home. Let's keep
Love
them
it.
Coming.
Bringing home a lot. Offensive rookie of the year. Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Puka Nacua, Bijan Robinson, CJ Stroud. Got to go with CJ Stroud, right? I mean, honestly, you could make a case for a lot of these players. Other than Bijan, I think he would be out. But Gibbs, Laporta, and Nacua, they all had fantastic seasons. Just not quite to the level of CJ Stroud in terms of his value to that Houston Texans team.
Yeah, I mean, that roster was dog shit, you know, in the beginning of the year. And he just kind of like stepped in and brought them to the playoffs, won a playoff game. I mean, it was just, you know, an incredible story. And listen, Nacua is awesome. You know, any other year, Nacua probably wins this easy, you know. But, you know, and even like Jahmyr Gibbs towards the end of the year, like so many good rookies, which is, you know, just going to make next year even more exciting. But I definitely think it should be Stroud. He would definitely get my vote. I mean, the Texans were bad, bad last year.
So bad last year, and turned around like exponentially from expectations.
And if you remember in the draft, Kate, like we were all making fun of the Texans because remember that they were like, oh, who are they going to take? Will Levis? Are they going to take, you know, maybe they don't take a quarterback. And they were like, what are they going to do? And then they traded for the additional pick because there was like, you know, arguments. Is it going to be Stroud? Is it going to be Will Anderson Jr.? And we're all cracking up like, oh, look at these dummies. And it turned out pretty good.
Yeah. No, it turned out great for the Texans, and I think they're going to be back and pretty good again next season. So maybe Stroud can make a run for MVP next year and not just Offensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, he was in the MVP conversation for a hot second.
Yeah, I would be surprised if, like, this time next year, like, we're talking about him, like, he's up there with, like, Burrow, Mahomes, like, that tier of quarterbacks.
For sure. Defensive Rookie of the Year, could this potentially go to CJ Stroud's teammate, Will Anderson?
I think it could. I think it could. I mean, you can't give it to Jalen Carter. That defense, I'm an Eagles fan. That defense was
awful.
A hot mess at the end of the year, man. So, like, how impactful are you if teams are just running up and down the field on you, you know? So, I think, you know, I took a little bit when we got towards the end of the season. I took a little bit of Will Anderson Jr. I think it was, like, the last week, and a little bit of Kobe Turner. Not great numbers, but, you know, just kind of fading Jalen Carter because I didn't think, you know, you can give him the award after, you know, being in the worst defense in the league.
Oh, absolutely not. Kobe Turner for like the average NFL fan completely flew under the radar. But when you look at a lot of his numbers, he was fantastic this season for the Rams. And I mean, kind of made their defense what it was.
Yeah, and what a draft, right? You get Nakua late, you get this guy Turner. You know what I mean? Like, they did it. They did a tremendous job, the Rams.
They really did. What are we at? Comeback player of the year. This one is likely DeMar Hamlin, right? I mean, he was the heavy favorite from the beginning. Joe Flacco kind of made a run for a little while. He actually might have jumped Hamlin in the odds at one point, but I think this award's going to DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah, this is just such a difficult award, man. Yeah. Like, it should be, like, I don't know. You know, it's, again, I didn't bet into this market because I was afraid they were going to split it up with, like, Coes and do, like, multiple people, and then, you know, your odds get blown out the water. But I you can't say Hamlin doesn't deserve it. It's a great story. But, like, on field, it's definitely Flacco. Yeah. And they asked Flacco, and he's like, what am I coming back from, being old? Like, I don't deserve the award. Give it to Hamlin. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, listen, it's a regular season award. Playoff performance, you know, shouldn't go into it. I don't know. I think they have to – I don't know if they're handing in the ballots, you know, before or after or whatnot. But it's, you know, the Flacco steam got deflated real quick after that playoff game.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, it's like DeMar Hamlin did step back on the field this year, but, like, his play wasn't anything spectacular. But the fact that he came back was spectacular. And I love that Joe Flacco was like, what? I mean, I came back from my couch. Like, I mean, that's just kind of good humor, and he's being a good sport.
But you can't be the guy that says, I deserve the award, not DeMar Hamlin, right? You can't be that guy.
No, you cannot be that person. That would not go over. That would just not be a good look for you. So, yeah, good for Flacco for taking the high road. And, I mean, honestly, I doubt he really cares at this point in his career, Like, do you think he really wants to be comeback player of the year? Probably not.
No, my man's got Super Bowl rings.
Yeah. Baker, Matthew Stafford, and Tua, those were the other three that were pretty high on the odds board. Baker's had a really good season. Stafford.
Came back from Carolina.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's...
We're all hoping Bryce Young can do that, right?
Ugh, yeah. So you could, again, make a case for him, which is why there were odds out there for them. But yeah, DeMar Hamlin, he's bringing this one home. Last one, coach of the year. This is where it gets a little spicy because you have D'Amico Ryans, Texans head coach that brought the Texans out of just misery this season in his first year as a head coach with a rookie quarterback as well. And then you have Kevin Stefanski, who brought the Browns out of a mess midseason when their quarterbacks went down, and Joe Flacco obviously helped in that regard a lot. So this one is going to tell us a lot about what the voters really value in terms of, do they value like midseason adversity and a coach making the most of little they have throughout the season, or do they value a coach in the beginning that started with not a whole lot and turned an organization around?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it play out. Now, I did take a little Stefanski at plus 200. We got late into the year. So I'm hoping it goes that way. I think it should. Like, the real differentiator to me is that, you know, D'Amico Ryans didn't win any games when C.J. Stroud was injured. Like, he didn't win any games at all. You know, and I understand that the starting point is different. You know what I mean? Like, Texans were 32 out of 32 last year. Like, they were, that roster was bad. And Cleveland's wasn't, you know, but all the injuries, all the stuff he overcame, and for him to just win with multiple quarterbacks, like, I think he deserves it. So could be a little biased. I got a little ticket out there. Might be biased. Who knows? But I'm pulling for Stefanski.
I don't know. I go back and forth with this one. I kind of want D'Amico Ryans, but you make a good point. I mean, if he didn't win any games when CJ Stroud was out, then I'm not sure. I don't want to say
like that's the whole value of Stefanski, is that like he won with the most important player. You know, he's rolling out DTR. And, and listen, like, I like, you know, UCLA as much as anyone else, but, you know, it's hard winning games with DTR as a rookie, you know, and then Joe Flacco, and he still gets them to the playoffs. So
a lot of injuries throughout the season for other position players.
Offensive lineman went down, Nick Chubb out, right? You know, so they, I mean, he went through it all, man.
Stefanski. That's it.
I think so. Cash is tickets. We got to bring home the hardware. It's what we're here for. So we need another ticket to cash.
I mean, hey, we did. We started this podcast, what, towards the end of the season, and still talked about a lot of these and got good value on a lot of these awards.
We did.
So I think we did pretty good for ourselves this year, Mark.
We did really good. And we did in a lot of episodes. Like, if the audience, if you guys are new listeners, like, go back, listen to the old ones, man. They're good. Like, and it shows just kind of like the train of thought that goes into it, right? Yep. The process. That's what's important. Like, looking at the schedule, looking at the quality of defenses, if it's an offensive player, looking at the quality of offensive line, if it's a defensive pass rusher, you know, and trying to see, like, you know, what's going to happen, try and project, you know, how it's going to play out in the future weeks and how the odds are going to move and how to get the best number.
For sure. We have a big game on Sunday, Super Bowl.
Yes, yes. The big game.
The big game.
But everybody's in Vegas. Where are we at? We're here, home.
Everyone's in Vegas. Everyone's in Vegas because it's like, I mean, an excuse to go to Vegas this year. Right. Like, if there it's was a great any, excuse. If you were on the bubble of like, should we go to the Super Bowl in terms of like media and do the whole Radio Row thing, or could we get it done from home? Everyone's going to go to Vegas because it's Vegas. If this were, I don't know, middle of Tennessee, well, I guess Nashville would be kind of cool, but it's not.
It's not Vegas. Nashville's nice. Vegas. Like, I like Nashville. People
are super nice. If it was Baltimore, nice. I'm not sure we'd see this volume of people heading to Baltimore, right?
No, probably. No, it's a great excuse. And it's like Vegas on steroids, right? Super Week is like, Vegas, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're getting, you know, Vegas after a bunch of Red Bull.
Yeah. Well, you're going to need a bunch of Red Bull if you are in Vegas, because
I know.
I've talked to some people there and they said they are not sleeping a whole lot.
A couple CDs when you get back too.
Yeah. Right. So in terms of predictions on the Super Bowl this year, are we aligned on the Chiefs?
We are. Now, I did not bet the Chiefs. So I bet the over. I bet over 47 and a half. And my main reason doing that, you know, real quick, like in a nutshell, is I feel like we're paying a premium for the Chiefs. Like, I feel like any other week of the year, this game would probably be San Francisco -3.5, -3, -4. Three is a key number. Three is a big deal in these games, especially competitive teams. So, and I thought about it, and I thought, you know, both teams are, I think, are going to be able to run the ball very effectively. And I think that's going to take a lot of pressure off the quarterbacks. And I couldn't come up with this. I think it's a very unlikely scenario that the Chiefs win and it goes under, just because San Francisco is going to score. Like, Chiefs defense is great, but like, San Francisco's offense is going to get into the mid-20s, right? So they almost always do. So I look from that perspective that if the Chiefs are going to win, it's probably going to go over. And then I get a little bit of equity just in case it does go the other way and San Francisco ends up winning. But I do think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I mean, listen, as an Eagles fan, I watched last year's Super Bowl, 73 points. We went in there with, like, you know, a historic defense that had 70 sacks. And none of it mattered. They wet the field. Like, they do everything they can to get as much scoring as possible in these games. They officiate the games differently, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's fixed. They don't call holding as much. You know, the way the game is played, 20-minute halftime, so you can make adjustments. Everything's conducive to scoring. Controlled climate. There's no weather, right? So field goals are going to go in more. You know, quarterbacks are going to be more comfortable. So I think everything just leads to more scoring. So I went with the over 12-0, 12 playoff games, hit all 12. We're looking for 13.
Pretty incredible, Mark. 12-0, that's really hard to do.
And here's a fun fact, right? So the Super Bowl this year is on my birthday. So I can't lose bets on my birthday. I have to go 13-0.
You have to. That's the rule. You can't lose bets on your birthday.
So over's cashing. It's a lock. 47.5 count.
A happy early birthday. Are you, like, throwing a party to celebrate your birthday and the Super Bowl?
No. You know how it is, man. Once you start getting older, there's no parties. You're just like, oh, man. You're like at another trip around the sun. You're just grateful, you know?
Well, I hope that one does cash for you, because that would make your birthday all that better.
Once I hit 21, I stopped counting them, man. Yeah, right? I'm like, you know.
It's all downhill from there.
We could just keep it moving.
I kind of like the Chiefs in the first half. You can get them on the money line for plus 105, something like that, or Chiefs over 1.5 touchdowns in the first half, because Chiefs scoring in the first half has kind of been their bread and butter. And then second half unders for the Chiefs have been very profitable this season. Their scoring kind of drops off as the game goes on. And you've got to imagine that there aren't going to be as many nerves for Kansas City in this game as there are for San Francisco, especially Brock Purdy, right? Like, Brock Purdy's only 23, 24, playing in its second year in the league, playing in his first Super Bowl. I'd be crapping my pants. Patrick Mahomes, he's cool, calm, collected. He's been here before. He's not going to be fazed. So I think the Chiefs get out to an early lead. And the script for the last two games with the 49ers, I mean, they got off to pretty poor starts and had to climb out of a hole in the second half. Huge second half comebacks for against the Packers and Lions. So, I mean, if that is at all true again this year, getting the Chiefs for some plus money in the first half or over 1.5 touchdowns, I think that's like plus 180, which is some great value. So those are two angles that I am looking at as well.
You know what I like? This is one I punched in today that I think, and I agree with you, I think the Chiefs score early. Like, I think we talked about this before. Not sure if it was on this platform or another one, but, you know, if you take the last four games, the three playoff games, and then week 17 when they played the Bengals, because nobody played week 18, so that doesn't matter. Chiefs scored touchdowns on their first drive in three of those four games. Buffalo was the only game they didn't. They kicked a field goal, but they still, you know, they scored touchdowns. So Andy Reid now 2 weeks to prepare for this defense that I think is terrible. Like, I think the 49ers defense is very overrated. Like, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, I don't care. Like, people are running up and down the field on this team, and I think, you know, they're not playing the Arizona Cardinals anymore. So here we go. You know, I think the Chiefs score on the first drive, right? So the best way to cash that, the bet that I made, Chiefs score first drive touchdown, San Francisco other, which means does not score a touchdown on their first drive, 20-1.
Really?
20-1 on FanDuel. I got it today. So 20-1. So
is that a parlay?
Just has to not. You need both things to happen. Yeah. So it's like it's Chiefs score first touchdown. So they have to score their first touchdown on their first drive, and 49ers just don't score a touchdown on their first.
But is that like a combined special that FanDuel has, or are you parlaying to the Chiefs?
No, it's one drive? Bet. Yeah, so they combine it into one bet. You can find, I don't know exactly where it is, but I can show you after I look it up. I don't want to hold up the audience while I'm, you know, searching through my phone.
That is good.
20-1. And I think it goes to your point to where, like, I think San Francisco's offense is going to be very successful in this game, right? They're going to score into the 20s, possibly the 30s. The first drive?
But not on the first drive.
Brock Purdy, after Steve Spagnuolo has 2 weeks to prepare to dial up something that Brock Purdy's never seen in the first drive, I think he can keep them out of the end zone. So now if Shanahan will make adjustments, San Francisco will be fine offensively. But that first drive, I don't think San Francisco is going to march down the field and score. I know they've done it all year. You know, they're one of the best teams at doing it this year. This is a different game. The Super Bowl is a different game. You have to handicap it differently. You know, you saw what happened to the Ravens. So yeah. I don't think they do that. So that was the bet that I like. I mean, I thought 20-1. I thought those odds were outstanding.
I'm shocked at that. And yeah, does that Chiefs really have to score a touchdown or just to score in general? Touchdown. So could it be a touchdown? Yes. Or
they have to score the touchdown. Now, the Niners can score a field goal. The Niners can score anything but a touchdown. So, but it's okay. Chiefs' first drive, their first drive. So, it doesn't have to be the first drive of the game, but the Chiefs' first drive, yeah, touchdown. When San Francisco's first drive, they can't get a touchdown, and it's 20-1.
Ooh, okay. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Any other player props that you are looking at?
I like some of the Pacheco stuff. I haven't fired on it yet. I think, you know, plus 100 yards. We talked about that, I think, last week. You know, it's 3-1. It might be down to plus 290 now, but that's a good one. But, yeah, not a ton of the player prop stuff, man. I think it's going to be a fun game. Like, you know, like, how do you think – I think the most fascinating part about this game, Kate, is, like, how do we talk about these coaches after this game?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like if Andy Reid wins another Super Bowl, you're going to be like, man, like it really becomes he in that Belichick tier. Like he's up there with Walsh, Belichick, those guys. Yes. You know, if Shanahan wins, this is like, you know, finally, he's like really like he's one of the guys. And if he
does not, Shanahan loses, that's going to be an issue for Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. Because think about it, like the main thing about this 49ers team all year, all season, what we heard is how incredible they are, like how incredibly efficient they are on offense. And they're one of the best teams statistically on paper in the history of the NFL. So if you can't win with that team,
yeah,
when are you going to win, Kyle?
The narrative will be he's a great regular season coach. He can't win the big games. He can't win when it matters.
Yeah. So I think that part of it is like really like there's just a lot of different like aspects that are I think are like pretty interesting. But I'm excited. Like Super Bowl is always fun, man. Sit at the house. Do you do block pools?
Yes.
Yeah, I do not. Pools, I mean, like I might do one with. Huh?
What do you mean block pools? Like squares?
Yeah, the squares. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. We do squares.
You do those? Yeah, I might do them this year at my house with the kids and stuff just to have fun.
Yeah.
But I usually don't do them. I don't like, I'm like very like, I don't know. I don't even know what the word is, but I guess rigid when it comes to like the money that I'm shelling out on the Super Bowl, like rigid in the sense of like, I'm just like not putting up like random stuff. I'm like, well, I got to get good odds on this. Like, you know what I mean? Like a lot of like the fun random stuff. I'm like, I'll pass on that. And like block pools, I was always like, why did I do that when I could take, you know, Mahomes to throw two touchdowns.
That's the thing is because it's totally random. Like you don't always get to pick what you have. If you're like one of the last to the party and some squares are already gone or some numbers. Actually, no, the numbers are you fill out your initials first and then they do the numbers, right?
Yeah, they like randomly pull the numbers.
Yeah,
so it's like you got some guy who collected all the money, he's telling you what number you got, right?
Okay, so I have a Super Bowl party every year and we do squares with everyone. And I've always just never been interested in doing it because I never win.
Yeah.
I finally won last year.
Nice.
Which is great. But I feel like I won last year, so my luck is run out and I'm probably not going to win this year. So who knows if I will join that. But you're right. Like so many people have asked me, like, how many bets have you made yet? Like how many are you planning on making on the Super Bowl? Do you just go nuts? I'm like, no, not really.
Yeah, I don't go. Like,
I don't want to just like light my money on fire just to have stuff. I mean, I'll probably have more than I typically do, but that might only be 7 or 8 bets versus my normal 4 or 5 on a game.
And it'll be like, and a lot of those other bets will be like 5% of my stake from, you know, the real bet, like the core, like the over 47, like it's going to be a profitable day. Like that's going to determine whether it's a profitable day for me. Like not these little like side bets that I'm throwing together. But
right.
I would like to hit that 20-1 though. That would be good.
That would be really nice. I might go put a little on that once we get off here.
Do you text? Do you do the phone during the Super Bowl? It's one of my biggest annoyances. Like, I do not. Like, I'm just like, I put the phone away. Like, I'm like, I don't want to be bothered with a bunch of people texting me. Because, like, I feel like now, especially now, like, with streaming, like, I have, like, Hulu Live TV, you know? And, like, everything's delayed. So, like, everything's on a delay. People are hitting me up before the play happens. I just turn the phone off, man. I'm like, and it's not even, like, during the season, I will be like, oh, I'll get them with, I'll answer them back on commercials. Can't do that with Super Bowl, man.
No, because you have to be watching the commercials.
Yeah.
No, I don't turn my phone off or necessarily, like, leave it in the other room. I don't know. I don't really text a whole lot during it because, for the most part, I'm with all the people that I would be texting regardless.
You got puzzles to do. You can't be messing around.
No puzzles this year. There's no space for puzzles with having a party. You had to put all the puzzles away.
You know what you have to do? You have to buy, like, a little, like, tiny, like, 10-piece puzzle that's, like, this big. And then just kind of, like, whip it out during the game see what your husband does.
He would be like, you need to leave. You're no longer.
Right, put it together, like, under the table, like, real without anybody seeing it.
He would think I was insane.
Be like, no, I'm almost done.
Meanwhile, I came home this afternoon, and he was already setting up for the party. He already has, nice. Like, the trays out and everything. We have a tablecloth that is a football field. That is already put on the table. So he's pumped up. We're ready to go.
Are you gonna have a draft party now? Because Bears got the number one pick.
No, we won't have a draft party.
No?
I don't think so. No.
We used to love the draft parties, man.
No. Those can get too emotional if the Bears mess it up. Then it's just...
The Bears trade the pick. Everybody's got to get out.
Just a bunch of pissed off Bears fans that no one wants to talk to each other. And then it just turns into like the worst hangout ever.
Yeah. Everybody's got to go home. I don't care where you go. Yeah. Get out of here. Take some food. Get out of here. Yeah.
No, not good. Any fun props, Mark, like Gatorade color, Usher's first song?
Yeah, I don't. Like, any I don't. Like, I did a show last night with the guys at Club Fantasy. We do it every year. Like, they run through them all, and it's like, how many hot dogs are going to be eaten? You know, they find all these crazy ones. And it's like, you know, I didn't even know people still ate hot dogs. Like, like, whatever. Maybe at a baseball game, but I wouldn't go to the Super Bowl. And, you know, these guys are writing everything off anyway. Why would they spend their money on a hot dog?
Right.
But, you know, but yeah, not really. Not a ton. Like, I don't really get into a lot of that. No. Like I said, like, rigid in that sense to where I'm like,
but like, okay, if you just, you're not putting any money on it, but if you were to guess what the Gatorade color is, do you have any theory behind that?
I would say orange.
Okay.
Now, I think that's, now I want to say that because last year it was not orange. I think it was like clear or purple or something. I think it was purple last year. But before that, the Chiefs used orange. And it's funny, like Eitan Shander, a guy from Philadelphia here, he does like, you know, new stuff. And, you know, he's all on Twitter. Used to work with him, you know, at the radio station. And he had a theory that when it's a close game, they don't have time to change the Gatorade. So they just go with what's there. But if it's not a close game, then they have time to, like, bring in the Gatorade color that they want. So, like, the Chiefs, you know, when they beat San Francisco last time, had some time to bring in the orange because that's more, you know, they're red and yellow, so it's orange. But if it's a close game, they don't have time to change it out. And, like, last year against the Eagles, so they just go with what they had, and it was, like, purple. Now, I don't know if that's true or anything, or I might not even be saying the theory correctly. But he had it tied into whether it's a close game or not.
Interesting. I've never heard that they have a color, preferred color that they want to use.
Yeah, Eitan's great, man. He's a funny guy. But he went deep on it. So I give him all the credit in the world because I don't even think about that stuff.
Never would have crossed my mind. I always just thought it was whatever they were drinking.
I thought they used orange because red tastes like crap.
Yeah, red isn't.
And they're just like, you know, I don't want to do red. But orange makes sense because it's red and yellow.
It does Chiefs make colors. Sense. Yeah. And that was what the color the Chiefs had when they beat the 49ers just a couple years ago.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So maybe they're superstitious and want to keep it the same.
I would bet orange.
All right. I'm with you. All right, Mark. That's going to do it for us. Quick and easy show. NFL awards tonight. We'll figure out if we cash those tickets.
Absolutely. And we'll be back next week to brag about it.
That's right. We will. And then we'll be back next week to give you winners for the NBA, because now that the trade deadline is over, we can kind of get a handle on all these teams going forward. So we'll hit that heavy. Also NCAA, you know, player of the year, all that good stuff for college basketball, some NHL. We've got it all coming up, but we'll be back next week. Follow us on Twitter. Mark is at @X_Drumheller. I'm at Kate Constable. You can find us on the Believe Network or wherever you get your podcasts. Happy Super Bowl.